which has been a topic of discussion, of course, through the church age. Now, first of all, you have to be established in your understanding that a distinction is made between the rapture, that phase of the coming of Christ, and the actual second advent proper. The separation period between the two, of course, is the tribulation. The tribulation, by the way, is Daniel's 70th week. It's another doctrine of years. The 69th week concluded with the death of Christ there and his resurrection. And there is this intercalation or hiatus between that event and the resumption. It's like pushing a pause button, except history moves forward. The 70th week of years is detached from the 69 weeks of years, and it is the tribulation. As we were noting here, a likely date for the rapture is 2021. Now, that puts us within this 70-80-year span without violating it. A generation will pass away. Of course, that generation, 1948, post-World War II immediately, all the stuff that came out of that, the UN, all these other factors, Israel becomes a nation and is born to a new start. This is unique among the Jewish people. No nation has received one dispersion and come back, let alone three. The northern kingdom was dispersed by the Assyrians, and then later the Babylonians took into captivity the southern kingdom, which was reestablished. First restoration, second commonwealth, was reestablished there 70 years later. And that nation, that commonwealth, continued all the way down into 70 AD of the church age. And so last time we noted that it makes sense to me that this momentous event that kicks off the trib and takes the church out of here and ends the church age officially would be the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. Unknown in our Lord's day, F, on this subpoint, was time elapsed until the generation. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. We break this down. How is it that the Son doesn't know it, but the Father knows it? How can we work that out theologically? As deity, he knows everything. His humanity did not know it, was not privy to it. That seems strange, but that's what he says. True eminency versus false eminency. False eminency is basically the view that Christians have held that Christ could have come back at any time, at any place in human history, which is absolutely erroneous. The setup, the specific set of nations and circumstances are peculiar to a particular point, a point when things are right. Imagine the rapture and there's no Israel. There's no chance for any of the rest of this to fall in place. So that all needs to be blown out of the water completely for anyone that has thought about this. True eminency recognizes an unspecified time elapse until the rapture generation. Mark 13:33. Take heed, keep on the alert. How do you do that? You study the prophecies. You study the prophecies, for you do not know when the appointed time is. False eminency denies the church the ability to identify the rapture generation. Again, how could the rapture have occurred before 70 AD? The rapture couldn't have occurred before the martyrdom of Peter, which Jesus prophesied. So that's just two things that get you on into the apostolic era. And there's other things I could cite over and over again. Since the United States is in prophecy, it requires that this nation become a nation, which they didn't become a nation until officially since 1776. Because the United States is a big player in Bible prophecy. Something that people don't want to hear, but it is. We're not on that at this time. Yet Paul enjoins the church to alertness. Staying alert is like being on guard duty. And you don't cry wolf. Alert people when there's the evidence isn't there for the trained observer to make an announcement. You stay on the alert. So through time, believers will stay on the alert, and they should have had in their understanding that just because something bad is historically happening and has happened through the church age, big events, that doesn't mean, well, the end is near. This was done by Christians. It's been done over and over again. The fall of the Roman Empire in 1000 AD and World War II and all this business. There were those crying wolf. They didn't have their ducks in a row, and it brings disrepute on Christians. Oh, there you go again with your ideas. If you had this doctrine and you lived before all this, you could say, probably, the rapture's not going to occur in my lifetime. And you'd be dogmatic about it. But since 1948, and we're long in that period of time, we can talk about it enthusiastically, and because all the things that there's a few things that aren't in place yet. That temple has to go up. It has to serve in the tribulation for the tribulation period. I realize it can go up practically overnight. They got all the plans. They're ready to go. They're chomping at the bit. There'll be an event. Something will occur to bring this to pass. Jesus Christ controls history. He's the Lord of history. The things he brings to pass, things he allows. He does not allow things that would interfere with his plan in the minutest of details. And we can rest assured of that. And he let this thing fall down on us that we're all under today. Whatever all the details are about it, he knows. We just faith rest it and work our way through it. He'll take care of you. Just follow your spiritual leader. Listen to him. He got you here, and I'll get you further down the road by God's grace, and everything is necessary. Yet Paul enjoins the church to alertness, lest that day overtake them like a thief. For the human race at large, this day is going to hit them like a thief breaking into their house. Anyone knew a thief was coming, they'd make all the precautions to thwart it. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. That day should overtake you like a thief. As I said, Paul had to write 2 Thessalonians as a corrective to some goofy ideas they got from a fake letter. People were unprincipled, as if from Paul, and all this business, and tried to convince these believers, because they were suffering persecution, that they were in the trib. The church isn't going through the trib. He taught them that. When the trib opens up, you have suddenly this disappearing act, a part of all these believers, vacating all this that they have down here. The appearance of the Antichrist and the false prophet, who, by the way, are individuals from the past. We may look at that later. It's in Revelation 17. He's brought up out of the abyss. I have other proofs that document this. The Antichrist will appear on the stage of human history with a false prophet. We've identified the Antichrist as the return of Alexander the Great. Also, Moses and Elijah will be brought back and set in the Middle East. The two prophets. So you are not in darkness that day should overtake you like a thief. Believers who aren't where they're supposed to be spiritually when the rapture occurs, it's going to overtake them. Oh, it's going to be good for them. They got a resurrection body. They're out of here. But they're not prepared. Because they're not under sound doctrine, in the right kind of a church, moving forward spiritually, understanding the three adjustments to God, and having doctrine taught to them by a qualified pastor teacher. Again, no Israel, no rapture. Some general characteristics of the end of this age. A peace movement. We've heard about peace, peace, peace all the time. You know, which is so ridiculous because ever since we got the UN, we've had more war than before. Just everywhere. And the United States is involved in a lot of it. Now, as to the times and epochs, events and periods of history, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, because you're so well versed. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. It's going to hit them. I don't know what the exact nature of this peace talk will be and what the historical setup will be. And boom, the rapture occurs. I don't know what it will be. Will it be tensions between us and Russia or China? Will there be a point of crisis where it looks like it's really bad and then it's all solved and everybody, oh, this is good? I don't know. When they are saying peace and safety, who are they? Well, you say it's people on the earth that are uninformed spiritually and not where they need to be spiritually and maybe even physically. When they are saying peace and safety, does this include everybody on earth? Or a select, is it very specific and narrow? I could work on that. Because there is an announcement made to the United States right after the rapture. And this announcement is for, well, first, the human race gets a gospel hearing. Grace always precedes judgment. So people can make the salvation adjustment in the tribulation, of course. And then there is an announcement with regard to the fall of Babylon, code for the United States. And people are told to get out of her, leave, or you'll be destroyed in her destruction. And they'll have a window of opportunity, which will take them almost the third year of the tribulation. The destruction of America is reflected in the second seal judgment, the rider on the red horse. America is the rider on the white horse. And then the upshot of that, because all you have four horses for four of the seal, for seven, out of the seven seal judgments. So the question is, why four horses for them and not the last three? Because it's all cause and effect. When you get to the fifth seal judgment and sixth and so forth, they don't depend on that. America's final hurrah in diplomatic activity, rider on the white horse with a bow without an arrow and all this business, and then the rider on the red horse is the nuclear annihilation of the United States under the direction of Christ, using as his agent Russia. And then the other two of the four is economic chaos, the rider on the black horse, and then the ashen horse, behold a pale horse. That is the destruction of humanity by the tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people due to all of that radioactive mess that's out there, the poison in the air. Make that what this thing here is look like nothing. So you know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and security, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And I looked, Revelation 62, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, that is referring to United States diplomatic activity. We're trying to conquer today. Overthrowing regimes. Regime change. Who's the villain today? That all falls into wars and rumors of wars. We're going to go to war with Iran. Beat that drum. We're going to go to war with North Korea. Beat that drum. And our troops, you know, all this time in Afghanistan, for what? And Syria. Syria didn't do anything to us. Anyway, this is all this warmongering that's so prevalent today. And all the parties involved that want us to be constantly in this armaments and so forth. All the big corporations, everybody that makes money off of this. But that's in the U.S. and prophecy. And I looked and I rode a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow. The last president of the United States. And a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Next horse, the red horse. War. Ends all this. In the last era, you have a proliferation of wars. I can also add rumors of war. This keeps everybody stirred up. Wars, rumors of wars. Earthquakes. Someone might do a study. Are there more and more deadly earthquakes than since man started keeping record of these things? Apparently so. Famines. For whatever causes. False teachers. False Christs. Oh, they're everywhere. All kinds of crazies are out there. Peddling their stuff. All right. Roman numeral 15. Paul's prayer for the model church. That's the Tupas church, the Thessalonian. That was the model church. It's founding, the way they got going. It was a good example for all other churches. Now may, in his prayer, 1 Thessalonians 3:11. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus Christ our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. That's key to a healthy church. And for all men, we don't hate people out there. We hate things they do, obviously. Any moral, rational person ought to hate a lot of the things that are going on. And a biblically based one sees things that are way out of whack with the Word of God. But we reach out to people where appropriate. And for all men, just as we also do for you, so that He, God, may establish your hearts irreprehensible in sanctification before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. See. This is what I get when I don't have it on one side only. I screw up. All right. Back off of that for now. It still is true. Paul prophesies personal degeneracy in the rapture generation. And realize and know this, that in the last days, difficult or perilous times will come. So many ways we can illustrate that. Weapons of mass destruction. All kinds of stuff. Perilous times will come. And what makes times perilous? We would think all the violence, all the crime, all the warfare, and all the other stuff. But what does he say? We see this all the time. For men will be lovers of self. Lovers of money, boastful. You can see these things for yourself. Arrogant, revilers, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unthankful, unholy, unloving, without natural affection, irreconcilable, implacable, malicious gossips or slanderers, without self-control. brutal, haters of good, treacherous, or traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Paul calls this entire age evil and says the mystery of iniquity is already at work in his day. And I told you in a previous class, mystery of iniquity is technical. It's not just this mystery of lawlessness is just not for general lawlessness out there. It is the elite Illuminati thing, for those who are students of this. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So the precursors of this go way back to Babylon. Secret societies and their plan to enslave the human race and rule with an elite over them. Yeah. And it's already at work. It reaches its final incarnation with the rise of the Antichrist, who will be open Luciferian. He won't hide this. That means he doesn't deny the existence of Christ and God. And he rails against our Lord and the throne of God in the third heaven, which Satan has wanted to overthrow since his fall. He wants that spot. You read about it in Isaiah 14. So, anyway. But in the rapture generation, this lawlessness approaches maturation, and in the Antichrist, it reaches maturation. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12. This is a discussion of the Antichrist, as far as Paul understood, because the book of Revelation wasn't in place yet. It's the capstone. It seals the deal. It tells us, it gives us, it's like, I'm going to give you some clues. And you draw from the clues what seems the most logical identification of the Antichrist. But first you have to understand that the vision of the beast with the seven heads. And as John received this information, it was told him, five have fallen. One is, and one is to come. And he's one of the five. So there's your little puzzle. It's not that complicated. And the one is the Roman Empire. He's not a Roman. And he has two shots at it. He's number five, which is Greece. And the most prominent king of Greece by far is Alexander the Great. The most storied man of antiquity. Alex will be back. And you'll be able to prove he's Alex. How can he come back if he's in hell? God brings him up out of it. And gives him a body and a brain to operate at an incredibly high level in this world. God will send the world strong, delusioned. They want a Superman, subject of a lot of movies, going to deliver the earth from the bad aliens or whatever is going on. All those types of things. You know. Well, he's going to come back and present himself as God. You don't do that today. Not openly. He's going to say he is God. He is divine. He's going to say what only Jesus Christ can say, who is the God-man. So that'll be the big counterfeit. And he will be very successful and he's going, and people will fall all over themselves. We're completely primed for this. Negative volition will attach themselves to him. Fanatically. For reasons I don't want to get into at this time. So in the Antichrist, it reaches maturation. Paul says the background of this is the secret mystery of lawlessness. Already at work through Satan, his organization, and individuals who are against, in the highest level, everything God has put in place. Marriage, nations, and all the rest of it. All the divine institutions. And it comes out of these secret societies. Only who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And I presume that's the Holy Spirit. He's got another role to play. He's restraining this onslaught of evil through history. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay. He goes to the end game with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of His coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. They'll fall for this. In order that all may be judged who did not believe the truth and took pleasure in wickedness. He'll have a rabid following. Fanatical. Once he gets on this stage and skyrockets to the top of the human consciousness. He'll be in the news all over the place. But he's going to run Western Europe. It's a basket case right now. It's on a respirator. Because it was they don't say it in the news, but somebody's been, the European Union was an experiment. Well, it's one gone bad. It violated nationalism, one currency, all this mess. The French are on the streets marching against it because they're being squeezed, the yellow vests. They're not happy with these elitists and Brussels and all their rules. And he will come in there and pull this together in a 10-kingdom federation. Categories of men at the parousia: unbelievers. They're likened to someone who is passed out through too much drinking of alcohol and they are asleep in the night. The alcohol part, inebriation, indicates they're under the influence of evil. And that's why they do the crazy stuff and say the crazy stuff. And we know there's a lot of people out there that exhibit this quality of being asleep, oblivious, and who are, with all their stuff, they're staggering around. Our politics today, it's just incredibly messed up. Reversionistic or negative believers, asleep to prophetic realities. They're raptured, but they lose reward. Whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. And in Matthew 13:36, lest He come unexpectedly and find you asleep. This doctrine and these others related to it opens our eyes so we are awake. We see all of it in place. And we know that it's near, thank God. Then the third category is the believer, the adjusted, in-the-know believer who is alert and sober. But since we are of the day, let us be sober. How do you establish sobriety? You get this doctrine in your soul and you act accordingly. You don't run amok out here. You just are sober. This is sober doctrine. Let us be sober and alert also. The communicator of Bible doctrine is a porter to the parousia. Take heed, Matthew 13:33. Keep on the alert. For you do not know when the appointed time is. It's like a man away on a journey. Christ at the right hand. Who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves or servants in charge, assigning to each one his task. Each believer has a niche and a responsibility to fulfill. Also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. The doorkeeper, that's a special category of servant. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight, at cockcrowing or in the morning, lest he come suddenly, unexpectedly, and find you asleep. That again is a believer out of it, not in the know. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. All right. Page 5 of 7. I gave you that one out of sync. I'll do it again. We'll skip that point at the top and go to the number 16. The rapture generation is commanded to intensify its intake of doctrine. Our history at Maranatha has been to have at least 4 Bible classes a week. 2 on Sunday morning, double session, and 1 on Tuesday and Wednesday. So we definitely have a history of providing this. Now, of course, I know in the background to Hebrews 10, these believers were about to face a crisis, a major test. Can you imagine? You live in a nation, you got a job, you're settled there, and all of a sudden you've got to leave and relocate because the Romans are coming. So that would have application to them in their situation. Not forsaking, but this is always true. Not forsaking our own assembling together. Forsaking is a strong word. We have not forsaken the output of Bible doctrine in this crisis. We have not forsaken that. We have been interrupted, and he's talking about believers who, for whatever reasons, are not consistent in Bible class. There's legitimate reasons for missing. You're sick. You take a vacation. Various things that are allowable. But this is unexcused absence. Spotty attendance. And worse. As is the habit of some. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So time is limited, even if you didn't live in the rapture generation. Time is limited. You've got a short life. Our lives are short. The days are evil. The challenge to appear before Christ qualified for the crown. All right, next time we'll pick up the events for the church following the rapture. I know it's a lot of information to absorb, but we'll do that. All right, in conclusion, thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Bless the information to the encouragement of positive volition in Christ's name. Amen.